Acts chapter 8. I want to read for our hearing verses 26 through 40. Acts chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. That text says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit," capital S, reference to the Holy Spirit, "told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I,' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me?' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, 'Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?' Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea." I want to use this text and title our sermon today, "From Just Reading to Rejoicing." From just reading to rejoicing. As you read this beautiful story in our scripture today, notice the black man from Ethiopia was reading a passage of scripture from Isaiah. But by his own admission, he wasn't very clear about what he was reading. He was just reading. But by the time he accepted Christ, by the time he was baptized, by the time he had a better understanding of what the Bible stories were about, verse 39 shows he was rejoicing. Thus, we have the inspiration for our little talk today, from just reading to rejoicing. This sermon is really designed for those of you who may be doing pretty well in life. Perhaps you have a decent job, family's doing well, you're feeling all right this morning, but there's still something seems like it's kind of missing in your life. You ought to pay attention to today's sermon. Or maybe you know somebody. Perhaps a young person comes to mind in this graduation season. They are as smart as a whip, but they really don't have a strong, deep relationship with the Lord. Perhaps you ought to be listening today and asking God to use you as the Philip in their life. Because after all that the black man had going for him, until he got saved, his life was a miserable waste. You know, it doesn't really matter what else you have going on in this life. If you mess around here and die without Jesus in your life, you have wasted your life. And so today I want to try to take a stab at this thesis. We should go with an openness to ministry opportunities. That's what I want to talk about today. We should go with an openness to ministry opportunities. I want you to pay very close attention to verse 26 and notice how it was an angel of the Lord that said to Philip, very first word out of the angel's mouth is go. Did you see that? And I do not want to insult your intelligence, but lest I assume too much, can I remind you that God is still sending us to go? He is not out of the going business. He still has us in the going business. Y'all know this. Matthew 28, 19 through 20 starts off with go. Ye therefore, that marvelous text in Matthew 5, 41 talks about how if someone forced you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles, the extra mile. You remember when John's disciples came to see was Jesus the real deal or not? In Matthew chapter 11, verse 4, Jesus told the men, go. Tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. God is still sending us on go missions. The question is not, is God sending us to go? The question is, are we going as sent? The marvelous thing about Philip is that the Spirit said, go in verse 26, and verse 27 says, so he started out. There's nothing between 26 and 27. Did y'all know that? So the implication of the text is right after the Spirit said, go, Philip went. Now, when you look at your life and hear God telling you to go, does the next verse in your life show that you went? Or are you still thinking about it, praying about it, trying to figure out what you want to do? Let me help you think about it. You do know God is still sending us to do home ministry. I know everybody's not going to Africa. Everybody's not going to foreign mission fields, but everybody has a ministry to their home. If you are married, brothers, you already have a ministry of being the best Christian husband you can be. Sisters, if you're married, you already have a ministry of being the best Christian wife that you can be. If you have children, you already have a ministry of being the best Christian parent that you can be. If you don't have a spouse, you don't have a children, you got somebody, you got a niece, you got a nephew, you got an aunt, you got an uncle, you got somebody around you, that God is still giving you an assignment to be a Christian relative, a Christian friend, a Christian loved one too. When you hear God's goal mission and then look at your life, does it sound like Philip's story? The Lord said go in one verse and then you went and did what the Lord said do in the next. When we talk about church service, you do know that the Lord, if the Lord has sent you to be a part of this church family, if the Lord has sent you to be a part of this church family, you know, I think, don't know if God sent everybody to be a part of this church family. Some folk just like to visit our worship experience. But if the Lord has sent you to be a part of this church family, then you have a ministry to do here. You don't have a ministry to just sit and watch everybody else to work around you. You ought to have something that you're putting your hands on to try to make it better. But when I look at how difficult it is to find somebody to go and drive the van, go and handle this media equipment stuff around here, go and help us work in this kitchen, go and help us with this trustee ministry, the leadership for 2013, the teaching, the follow-up work, when I see how much work needs to be done and looked at so much untapped energy and expertise in our pew, it makes the preacher ask, are we going as sent? Yeah. When you look at our community, you do know God is still sending us to go to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's not old school. That's still new school stuff. We still have orders to be a bright light and to be useful salt. And we are yet struggling, trying to cover 50 hours at South Avondale School. Now, if the children come out and do bad, end up in jail and walk around looking like the devil, then we're going to have our lip poked out talking about what hoodlums they are. Somebody ought to raise them children better than that. But here we are on the front end, before jail, before crime, before they get tattooed everywhere they can find a clear spot to put a tattoo, while their pants are still up where they're supposed to be. Here's a marvelous opportunity to help the child do something, to shape them and mold them in the right direction. And even though God is sending, it seems as if too oftentimes we're not going as we should. We could easily talk about our NAACP, which will be exactly what we make it. And you know, the marvelous thing about the NAACP is when you got money in both pockets, Reverend, why you got to talk about that? But when you get fired because of racial discrimination, when people ignore your street, when it's time to plow the snow, all of a sudden you want the NAACP to come to the rescue. Well, you got to feed the dog if you want it to be a big dog. You got to feed the dog. If you don't feed the big dog, ain't nobody scared of no little puny chihuahua. You need a great big Rottweiler if you want to have a guard dog. And it takes, therefore, our support. Are we going? Now, a marvelous thing about the going of the text was God sent the go instruction, not through the angel of the Lord, definite article, but it's through an angel of the Lord, indefinite article. It is not the special angel. It appears as if is one of at least several, perhaps many angels. His name is not even important. It's just an angel of the Lord went and told Philip to go. You know, there are some people that if they go, they got to have a real special invitation. They need the Lord himself to open up heaven and say, hey, you, yeah, you right there. Pick yourself up and go on down the street. Go. We want to see handwriting on the wall. But sometimes the Lord says go just through an unnamed angel of the Lord. You know, angel simply means messenger of the Lord. And so that messenger might be your pastor. It might be your accountability partner. It might be your own sensitivity to seeing how needs are being unmet that you have the ability to respond to. The question before us is not, is God telling us to go? The answer to that is yes. If you save, he's still telling you to go. The only question on the table is, are you going? That's the preaching question, because it took a going Philip to save this black man in the text. If Philip would have made excuses why he could not go, for example, back in chapter 7, Stephen had just got killed and things are looking bad for the church. It was hard times for believers. He could have made excuses. He could have tried to take a pass, but he looked past all of that and said, no, I'm still a child of the Lord. And I'm going to go where sent, and I'm going to come when called. Does that describe your life? Or is your religion only good for showing up on Sunday, watching the 2-hour program? Is it only good for feel-good stuff on Sunday? Put a few dollars on the table and I've done my duty. I'm here to remind you that God is calling all of us to a much higher level, which may include going. Let's move along now. To this matter of open to ministry. Now, this part of the sermon preached to me. This may not do much of anything for y'all. I just wanted to warn you, but it really preached to me. I noticed that it was while Philip was on his way to Gaza, that's in verse 26, where is Philip going? He's going south to Gaza. It was on his way to Gaza that he met a black man from Ethiopia, and he ministered to that man on the way. Now, the reason that was so important to me is because my mind is so wired towards goals, destination, the end product, that if I'm not careful, I can miss the ministry opportunity on the journey. So busy about the destination, you miss the ministry on the journey. So concerned with the goal that you miss the ministry that's in the process of accomplishing the goal. Thank God for Philip being open to the ministry opportunity on the journey to where God was sending him to go. Are y'all still here? Do you not know that if we're not careful, we can be just like that priest and just like that Levite in Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 35? You remember the Jericho Road situation? The man had gotten robbed, and the priest saw the man but went to the other side. Perhaps the man wasn't on his list of things to do. Perhaps the man was not in his planner. Perhaps the man did not have an appointment. So the priest went to the other side. And then the Levite looked too. Both of them saw the man, but instead of ministering to the thief who had been beat up by others, they went to the other side. And to their shame, but thank God, a Samaritan came along. Somebody with very little religious pedigree. People who they thought would not have the spiritual sensitivity of a Levite. It was he who had enough sense to say, even though it's not on my agenda, I'm open to the Lord using me on the journey down the Jericho Road. And I say to you, and I say to me, we ought to be careful about being so fixated on the goal, so fixated on the destination, that we lose sensitivity to what does God want us to do as we travel from A to B. Let me get it even a little bit closer to you. As we wrestle to get the Lord's church out of embarrassing debt, we must still be open to what does God want us to do along the journey. You can't spend the next 5 years on debt only. As we conquer debt, what does God want us to do on the journey? Are y'all listening to me? As we work on making sure that every leadership slot of our church is filled with somebody who has demonstrated at least a minimum standard of training and discipleship. It's embarrassing to have to tell an officer, bring yourself to prayer meeting, bring yourself to Bible study, come to Sunday school, give something to church. You will not have to have that kind of discussion with a leader. And one day we will never have that discussion again. But as we press our way to that point, we have to be open to what does God want us to do on the journey. As we work on this marketing stuff, we're getting ready to hire a consultant to help us with marketing because it's definitely not my strongest suit. But we're working on marketing and we want to be a church of excellence. But and on the way, in the process, on the journey, you and I must be open to what does God want us to do today. Yes, we have our 1 year goal and our 5 year goal and our strategic plan. We know we're trying to get to Gaza, but are we open to what does God want me to do today? Because nothing happens by accident. Are you listening to me? And to perhaps make it even more personal, as you strive to get your credentials for your business, perhaps your bachelor's degree or your master's degree or some kind of certification that you need to make your business operate, as you try to take your business to the next level, as you try to raise your family, as you try to get your children up and out of the house, as you do what God is calling you to do at an individual level. I'm trying to make it as plain as I can that you ought to be open to what does God want you to do along this journey. Now, if we're not careful, we'll leave here saying, wow, so then let's get rid of all of our goals. Let's just be open to what the Spirit is saying today. That would be silly. That's not what I'm saying. After all, Jesus had goals. You remember in Luke chapter 4, verse 43, Jesus, the people told Jesus, why don't you stay here and do some more preaching, do some more healing? But it was Jesus who said, no, I must go and preach to other cities. Paul had goals. Y'all remember this. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 through 14. He said, not that I have already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, listen, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal. So goal is not Baines, it's biblical. I said goals are not Baines, they're biblical. He said, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So it's not always black and white. It's not always clean cut. Our prayer ought to be, Lord, I believe this is the goal. I believe this is the destination, but I need you to make sure I'm sensitive to what you're calling me to do along the journey. Perhaps a marvelous scripture for you and I to remember is, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. If it's your will for me to take a detour, then have your way. If it's your will for me to press straight ahead, then have your way. But at the end of the day, I want the record to read, he did the master's will. And the master's will is not only at the finishing line in Gaza, but there's ministry along this journey. And the question becomes, are we open to what God is calling us to do? And perhaps we're challenged by this more than many of our other sisters and brothers, because in a community like ours, where there's so much diversity, some of anything can happen around here on any given Sunday, any given week, anything could break off around here, that it's so easy to get pulled to one extreme or the other. You can get so fixed on your goals that you ignore all of the pain around you. Or you can get fixated on the pain and you spend the next 20 years of your life putting out fires and haven't moved proactively towards anything. And you look back over your life and the only thing you've done is survived and put out fires. Lord, help us make it to Gaza, but being open to ministry opportunity. That ought to be your prayer. Now, come on, let's talk about the brother in the text. He is from Ethiopia. Y'all do know that Ethiopia is in Africa. It didn't just get in Africa. It's always been in Africa. It's there right now, sitting right there in Africa. It is significantly south of Egypt. So it means when you look at the equator, going across Africa, wherever you see the equator at, you're going to see a whole lot of dark-skinned people because they have a tremendous exposure to the sun. Ethiopia is right along that line. So these are not light-skinned brothers. These are dark people. This is a black man in the text. And I'm tempted to go there, but let me just make reference to a book. I'm reading this book, and I highly recommend it to you. It can be a little unnecessarily complicated in language, but at least it's a short book. It's by William Moseley. It's entitled, What Color Was Jesus? William Moseley's book, What Color Was Jesus? Marvelous text that walks us just through not only the ethnicity, but the psychological impact of so many African Americans sitting in church under the sway of a Europeanized picture of Jesus. He does a marvelous discussion of that, and hopefully it will pop up in some writings down the way. Only thing I want to say right now, it's a black man. It's a black man with a good job. He is the treasurer for the Queen of Ethiopia. That speaks to his character. Because there's a whole lot of folk we might let usher or sing background, but we ain't gonna make you the treasurer. When you become the treasurer, you have convinced a significant amount of people that you are trustworthy, because the treasurer couldn't hurt you. You turn around and all your money be gone, and the treasurer gone. This black man was the treasurer of the queen's money. I don't think you had to run around. I don't think you had to worry about him with any kind of sexual scandal. Because after all, he was a eunuch. Let's talk about eunuch when I get out the pulpit. Let just take my word for it right now. He was a eunuch. That meant he was sexually unable to be involved with a man or a woman. So you ain't had to worry about whenever somebody said, yeah, and he slept with me last night. That's about all he was doing, was sleeping. That's all he was doing, because he was a human. And then he was a religious man. All of this before he met Philip. Philip can't take credit for getting him a job. Philip cannot take any credit for his character. Philip cannot take any credit because the man was already coming back from Jerusalem when Philip met him. He had been to Jerusalem. He was reading the scripture, and then Philip met him. But yet, he needed ministry. Because in spite of all that he had going for him, he was not saved. And children, you need to listen to me real good now. I don't care what you have going for you. If you don't have Jesus in your life, you have a vain past, you have an empty present, and you have a doomed future. Whatever you've done in your life, if you don't have Jesus, is nothing but chaff. Listen to Psalms 1, verse 3 and 4. It says, now the person who's righteous, the person who meditates in God's word, he is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatsoever he does prospers. Praise the Lord. But not so the wicked. They are like the chaff which the wind blows away. They're like the husk. They're like the part that you throw away. Whatever you've accomplished in your life, you got the education, you got the job, you got the business, you got the car, you got the house, you got influential friends, but if you don't have Jesus, it's nothing but chaff blown away. 20 years after you're gone, we'll have to read records to find out who were you. Life is gone. Chaff. And whatever you're doing now is empty. It's not until you eat this living bread. It's not until you drink this living water that your spirit is going to be satisfied. Thank God for Julia's restaurant and King's restaurant and Lamar's catering. Praise the Lord. But they can't do for you what living bread can do for you. Thank God for Gatorade. Gatorade have saved me many of Sundays. Praise the Lord for Gatorade. And some of y'all go out there and waste your money on that expensive mineral water. And I think some of y'all know something about some white Zinfandel. I think some of y'all know something about some white Zinfandel. But none of the above can do for you what Jesus' living water can do for you. There is a hunger that will never be satisfied. There is a thirst that will never be quenched until you line your life up with the will of the Lord. Your life is empty without Jesus, and your future is doomed. What's coming up the road? Hell is coming up the road. Now, I don't care what you got going for you. Death gonna catch you. Death gonna catch you. Run all you wanna run. Run the whole marathon. And death is gonna catch you. Get your diet right. Go to the doctor. Do all of that good stuff. Death gonna still catch you. Mess around here and die without Jesus, and hell will be your future. You know, you really don't have much to compare hell to. Because unlike the problems of our life, hell is permanent. All of our trouble is temporary. Slavery was terrible, but temporary. Rape is terrible, but temporary. Sexual molestation is terrible, but temporary. There's a whole lot of bad things that have happened, can happen, will happen, but they are temporary. The problem with hell is permanent. It was hell yesterday, it's hell today, it's going to be hell for the next 10,000 years. It's permanent. Now, it's getting ready to get hot around here. But But I want you to think about 130 degrees. 130 degrees. Y'all don't know nothing about no 130 degrees. 130 degrees. Now I want you to imagine 130 degrees for 24 hours a day. It's just as hot at midnight as it is at high noon. I want you to think about how there ain't no need in running up under the shade tree, because it's just as hot under the shade tree as it is out here in the middle of the field. Ain't no need in running inside, because there ain't no air conditioner in hell. 130 degrees, not just for the summer season, but for the next 10,000 years. Take my word for it, you don't want to go to hell. So then, the greatest ministry that you and I can be engaged in is to help people get saved. Yes, we ought to be involved in economic empowerment. Yes, we ought to be involved in social justice. Yes, we ought to help people live a moral life. I don't care what the White House says. I don't care what everybody else is doing. It's still wrong for Jack and Leroy to be laying up in bed with one another. I don't care what nobody say. I don't need no opinion poll. I don't need no scientific study. When Mary and Shaniqua laying up in bed talking about we married, that's wrong, y'all. You don't have to have a seminary degree to understand it's wrong for a man to marry a man, for a woman to marry a woman. Yes, the church ought to lift a prophetic voice, but you know what? You can be heterosexual and faithful to your spouse. You mess around here and die without Jesus, you're going to take your faithful heterosexual self to the same hell that gay folk are going to if they don't have Jesus in their life. It's more to this thing than I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't chase. I stand up for social justice. You can be a life member of the NAACP. If you're not a life member of Jesus, you're still going to hell. The greatest ministry. What separates church from the community action organization? What separates church from the human service organization? What separates church from the Avondale Community Council is we talk about Jesus, who can save to the utmost. So even if we can't get the code enforced and tear down some of these raggedy houses, even if we can't keep the police from brutalizing our people, even if we can't get everybody a decent job, if I can get you saved, there's a brighter day ahead. Greatest thing that you and I can do is help people get saved. Now listen, we cannot afford to just tell people about what's going to happen when they die. I'm not backtracking. It's still important to be involved in the community, but you got to have enough sense to know we're really just passing out fish sandwiches, trying to get a hearing for Jesus. We're just healing lame but dying legs, trying to get people hooked up with Jesus. They are nothing but hooks as we become fishers of men to try to get them connected to Jesus. And so then I come in by simply asking you, as we make ready to look at part two on next week, where are you at so far in the sermon? Are you like the Ethiopian? You're a good person. You're doing good for yourself. You got decent character. There's not a lot of rumors spread around about you. But you really don't have this Jesus stuff nice and tight. You're a religious person. I mean, that's why you're here. You're a religious person. You come here quite often. But in still quiet moments, have you really eaten this bread? Have you really drunk this living water? If you die tonight, which you may, are things well between God and yourself? I promise you, this question is coming back up in your life. If that's you, doing good in many areas but not right with the Lord, today's a marvelous day to get right with God. But I would like to hope somebody here is saved. And so maybe you're not the Ethiopian. Maybe you're the Philip. Maybe as you live your life, going from one place to the next, doing one thing for the Lord and then another thing for the Lord, are you spiritually sensitive enough to see the people that you meet along life's journey? Perhaps what you call an interruption in your schedule is actually a ministry opportunity that God has planted that person in your path so that you can help them get right with God. But are you so focused? You like the priest and the Levite. You're so busy going where you're going that you saw the man, but you don't have time to deal with the man. You got to get to the next meeting. You got to get to the next rehearsal. You got to go fellowship with some other saved people, and you're skipping over somebody on their way to hell. Where are you at in the sermon? Now, we're going to shout. I mean, the sermon talks about from just reading to rejoicing, so you know we're going to be shouting about rejoicing. But before you get to the shout, you ought to get some of this substance along the way. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? These young people who are graduating from high school, graduating from college, doing marvelous things with their life, keep your eye on the ball. Somebody got to have some sense. If these young folk go off and do marvelous things in their career, but don't have Jesus in their life, all they accomplish is like chaff, which the wind driveth away. You'll read about them on the news, about how they're trying to deal with that emptiness in their life. And you don't have to worry what happens to them in the future. They're going to hell if they don't have Jesus in their life. It's just that serious. And you know, when we have the service, we're going to say some nice stuff, aren't we? I mean, I haven't been to anybody's funeral where the preacher get up and tell the people, the person in the casket going to hell. Amen. We try to put everybody in heaven. But do you not know, no matter what the preacher say, if the person don't have Jesus, the Bible says they're going to hell. And so the reason why you need to know the plan of salvation, the reason why you need to open your mouth, the reason why you need to help people get saved, because there's people in your life that won't make it to church. This man didn't get saved in church. The Ethiopian didn't go back to Jerusalem to accept Christ as Savior. He got saved on the road because Philip was open to the ministry opportunity. I wonder if we met him on the bus stop, would we minister to them, or we'd say, well, this ain't church. If we meet him in the cafeteria at our workplace, do we see that as ministry opportunity, or no, I can't talk about Jesus in the cafeteria? I can talk about how I hit the number, but I can't talk about Jesus. I preached my sermon. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day to say, yes, Lord. If you're here doing pretty good, but don't have Jesus the center of your life, you ought to step out in this aisle and come today. If you know you need to get yourself in church, today's a good day. Come and say yes, Lord. Would there be one? Bless you, sir. Bless you. Bless you. Would there be another that would just say, yes, Lord? If you're here and know you need to come one of these days, why don't you make